I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Let me properly introduce you guys. So this is the Juice Podcast. I'm Erica Ramirez, senior editor at Billboard. Mm. With me, my co-hosts, Jeff and Eric Rosenthal.
Hi.
It's Surreal.
Hey.
And Big Sean.
Yeah.
I think it's like the third time that I've talked to you. I don't know how many times. I don't know if you guys have talked to Sean before.
We interviewed Sean on the red carpet at the BET Awards in 2011.
Right.
Yeah. So like right after your first album came out.
Yeah. And then another time I thought too.
Yeah, right? We've seen you around.
Yeah, yeah. We went to like listening parties. We've hung out. Yeah.
Honestly, we hung out.
Honestly,
we're like friends.
We go to a lot of listening parties, obviously, like running in these circles. the two best listening parties that we've ever been to, one was the Watch the Throne one, because that, like, how can you top being at the Planetarium?
Were you there for that?
No.
At the Haiti Planetarium uptown? Unbelievable. And the second was your listening party at the Standard, right?
I remember
the
High that, Line. Yeah.
Because, and the thing that both of them had in common was that they turn off the lights, and you're seated and you're forced to listen to the music, as opposed to like any other listening party where it's just like
to talk to
everyone in the industry.
Yeah.
Right. And the music becomes like background.
Yeah.
I think you chilled on stage and sat down to kind of listen to it with us.
Do you know when you come into like certain markets like New York and you do the Breakfast Club, do you know you're like, oh, Charlamagne's there and I'm going to get a certain type of interview and I should sort of like prepare myself ahead of time?
Nah, I used to be like that. Nah, I don't give a fuck. You know? It's just that my whole attitude really has just been like doing. I just do what the fuck I want to do, man. Say what I want to say. Like this album, I didn't make. I tried to not, you know, not purposely, but I wasn't like, you know, before it would be people in my ear, label. We need a radio song. We need this. Mm-hmm. Like, man, fuck all that. I just kept it real and did what I wanted to do. And, you know, the radio found. Like, I Don't Fuck With You is not a radio song, man. Like, come on.
I don't know. It has fuck in the title.
Yeah. And it was, I Don't Fuck With You, you little stupid ass bitch. I ain't fucking with you. You little dumb ass bitch. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck, bitch. I don't give a fuck about you. It's just like, you know.
And
but,
there's your single right there.
Yeah, but it's crazy. Like, that was completely unexpected. And, you know, that wasn't, like, the radio took that from the streets. The people made that on the, you know, they made that go on the radio. So, that's just what I'm on lately. It's tight to see it actually work out like that. And so, for this album, I just kept it real. I just put my situations, my personal life all out there. And, you know, I like it. I'm proud of it.
I mean, I listened to the whole album today, like, front to back, and I thought it was great. And I think that one of the things that made it great was that you are that transparent and it is your life. And you can tell that. Like, years ago when Game would put out, like, songs, everyone would be like, oh, you're name dropping. That's all it is. But I feel like when you mention Don C or you mention Chris Brown or Mike Carson or Kim and Kanye, it's for a good reason. And it feels like you're just telling us your life story. Yeah. It's not, like, name dropping. It's just, like, this is who I am.
Yeah, being descriptive.
Like, it's a real
like
situation.
Like, you know these people.
Yeah.
You've met Kanye.
Yeah, once. Yeah. Yeah.
But like how much of your album consciously is you going in there and being like, this is my story and that's it, as opposed to someone like Usher, who said that Confessions was like a mix of situations he knew about or friend situations and his own.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you like, all right, I need to do this type of song? Like, it needs to tackle the subject? Or are you like, you know what, this is what I'm feeling and this is who I am and I'm just going to put it out there and it'll find its way into the...
It's mostly that, but it's been times where, like, okay, like, let me use examples. Most of the songs are my real situations, all right? Now, what's funny is, well, I don't fuck with you. I wrote that when I was not going through anything relationship-wise. Everything was fine. But it's funny how timing, that shit came up later. Right. And it was like, it kind of fit my situation way more. It was really weird. Really fucking weird, actually. And but so it's things like that. But it all definitely relates to me. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And like songs like, okay, the one I did with Party Next Door, I was telling that story. Like this, I kind of like... Not necessarily. It was just kind of like I took things from a whole bunch of different situations and made them a story. Like, that's not really how I went as far as, like, okay, I'm with this stripper, this and that. Like, I kind of just got into a character. But that takes a good writer to do that, too. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? To tell a story through that way or, you know, get fictional in that sense. But it was truth to the story in the sense of I talked about first time going to L.A., Don mm-hmm. C., yeah. all that stuff. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, but... definitely these are all experiences I've gone through, things I've lived through. So
well, you have Ariana on Research.
Yeah,
how did she feel about like the content of that song? Because it's pretty much all these girls like stalking you and
yeah
all that.
she we did that song a long time ago,
right?
And like, so I remember I was just talking to her like about it a couple of days ago, and then she was like, make sure you tell people that's not like our situation.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I think people know that. She was like, I don't know, people might not know that. People might think I'm going through your stuff, you know. So, but I appreciate her for being an artist, though, and just, like, right. down to, like, collab on that. You know, we got songs, like, on her last album, we had a song, Best Mistake, which mm-hmm. was, like, Love You, you know, with a different type of vibe. This is, like, some real shit that yeah. people go through, and it's tight that she was able to distance herself from our situation and put herself in a situation, you know, different situation for the song. So yeah. I appreciate
that. Because
when
I heard it, I wasn't like, this is their relationship. That's why I was like, I wonder what she yeah, would have thought when you were like, get on this song right here.
Yeah, that's why I didn't think people would think that.
I don't know. Some people on the internet are like dummies.
Like, just some?
Yeah. I feel like you must get like, you know, crazy like, you know, stories about you. And you're just like, I don't know where this is from.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
All day.
Do you look into them? Do you read all that stuff?
I don't read all of them, but I come across them. You know, you just come across stuff, but... Man, hell no, I don't read a lot of stuff to throw me off because, you know, you could spend hours on the internet.
Do you have relatives who look on the internet and find...
Oh, hell yeah. My mom has Google alerts. You know what I mean? And people on my team and, you know, they keep an eye out for stuff. And because sometimes, you know, if something's too false and it's, you know, you got to like let them know or something.
Sure.
But I don't really pay attention to that shit, man, because... You know, if you focus on that, then you won't be focusing on what you got to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to I'm focused as ever and hungry as ever.
Yeah,
you know. So
I don't want to spend too much time on your old girl, but was the hardest part of your breakup trying to find a replacement for the line "My new girl's on glean shit"? Trying to make more.
No, it was easy. I just said my old girl's on glean shit, probably making less money than me. It's pretty simple.
We went to the show you did in Brooklyn with Currency for Complex,
uh-huh.
and you definitely said that on stage there. And like, I feel like the whole crowd was just waiting on that to hear what was up.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
You're with Roc Nation now,
yeah.
in a management capacity,
mm-hmm.
and you're still with Good Music, and no one's asking you to take sides. But if you were to play softball, uh-huh. which team would you play for?
Good Music.
Yeah, yeah.
All day. You know, Kanye. Come on, I wouldn't be here without him. You know.
You don't want Sean Pekkas on your team, you
no,
know?
Hell no, man.
He's a ringer for softball.
Yeah, I'm gonna knock it out the park on those guys. Say no, it's all family though. You know what I mean? Just from Pekkas to, you know, obviously Hove and Jay Brown and all those guys, man. It's great, but Good Music. Yeah, you know he was in the trenches with me, man. He, you know, me and him been through a lot together, and just he really believes in me, and you know. It was, first of all, we rapping back and forth on All Your Fault on the album, which I don't think he's only rapped back and forth with Hove. I think I don't know who else he's really
Common. I think
really,
I think so. On
it's probably like back.
Oh, on his
like
album?
Shy City, right?
Yeah.
I think a little bit, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But it wasn't.
But
like
you're
that,
in good company.
Though.
No, it's not like that. But like, I didn't know if you had written the whole thing and said like you can take a couple lines here, or whether you wrote it together, or how it worked. But it's seamless.
Yeah,
is the point.
Yes, yeah. It is. It's seamless.
Did you record your stuff down in Mexico too?
No, I recorded my whole album in my house.
Really?
Yeah, I recorded the whole thing in my house. And I think that's why this album is special, man. This is my third album, but I feel like it's my first album like this. And it was just like really getting the hang of it, really just doing what the fuck I wanted to do, going into it being like, I'm only doing what I want to do. I'm not listening to no fucking body else. You know what I mean? Yep.
No radio.
No, nothing. Just like going into making the music I want to make, and like then having people like, yay there. Like, yes, you're on the right track. This is good. And, you know, having people just add. I feel like every feature on the album added. I didn't use anybody for their namesake. I used them for their talent. And they like came with their, everybody came with their A game, from Wayne to Ye to John Legend to
Janae,
Chris Brown,
Brown,
Ty Dolla $ign. You know,
that's also a
Ariana,
great song.
Party Next Door. Everybody.
I like those soul samples that you have with, like, it's on that song. Then there's, I think, the Fault song with Kanye also has some.
Yeah,
is that his
and
production
an outro
on
too. Yeah, he produced. He definitely produced that with a couple other people. Yeah. All Your Fault. And what else did he produce? This is, oh yeah, it's one song I didn't use that he did too, but I might use it later on.
When was the last time you were in an actual studio? Because I feel like everyone now has like a studio in their own spot.
Well, the thing is, I built a studio, an actual studio in my crib.
Right.
You know, it was like, yo, I'm either going to buy this like Lamborghini or I'm gonna, you know, I took that money instead and built a studio in my crib.
But there's no reason for you to go to like, you know, the Record Plant or anything.
Right.
Like,
no
really
reason.
Ever again.
You can.
You just go to Miguel's house.
The only thing we use other studios for was mixing for sending it to engineers. But I recorded and did a couple mixes in my house, too. And, you know, I built the room out for it to be used for mixes. I wanted it to be better than other better than professional studios that, you know, were out there. And we got it to a point where it's great, man. It's like my cave. You know, I go in there and, you know, you can wake up at 4 in the morning, at 9 a.m. in the morning, at 2 in the afternoon, you know, and just go and not have to worry about anything. And that truly makes a difference, at least for me, because when I would get ready to go to the studio, sometimes I would put too much pressure on myself. Like, all right, I got this 12-hour block. The label's paying for this, you know. It's $1,500 a day or whatever, however much it was. And then when you get there, you're not in the mood. All right, I got to get in the mood, you know. And it's like, damn, all right, I've been here 5 hours. I ain't did shit yet, you know. But at your crib, it's like, okay, I'm going to just look at Wolf of Wall Street for a little while and get in the mood, you know what I mean? Or Dark Knight or Forrest Gump or whatever and just say vibe out. And it just gets done.
Were you listening to certain things before you were making this album?
Not too much.
You just kind of zoned in?
Yeah, I listen. The music I've been listening to lately, or I can't remember exactly what I was listening to right before I started the album. But lately I've been listening to just like a lot of Stevie Wonder, a lot of like Eminem, listening to like Eminem's first album a lot.
Really?
Just a lot of good, just a lot of good music. Ye,
super happy stuff, you know. Eminem,
I've been listening to Graduation.
Oh, so that's super happy. So that sort of like fucks up my argument.
That is actually,
and what else have I been listening? And just, you know, music that comes out currently, I'll just be checking out, you know.
Yeah. So like at this point in your career, what role does Kanye play in your sound and aesthetic, and what role do you play in his?
We're in a studio together, you know, not all the time, but we're definitely in a studio together. And, you know, I run stuff by him and he runs stuff by me, and, you know, we add anything that we hear or any suggestions, and it's like, yo, bro, you know, it's like your homie. It's like we're friends, you know, and he's my mentor, and he's like, he'll hear some stuff and be like, I don't think you should do that. I think you should do this, or, you know, I love this. And this was definitely one of the times where, though, he was just like, damn, man, you're doing good. You're rapping great on here. So I appreciate it.
You ever fight him for something that you want but he doesn't want? Or you guys, like, disagree on something?
Yeah, of course.
There's the behind the scenes, I think it was when you guys were recording Blessing with like Kanye and Pusha, and you were in there. And it does sound like you said he was very like very motivational about it, like kind of cheering you on.
Yeah, that was the first time I played it for Pusha, and he was just like, man, this album is good as he was like, man, I know, I saw him on Instagram and he was like, yo, you should take a bow in advance, man. This is like, he was really impressed, and it was cool to see Pusha impressed like that. You know what I mean? Because I really respect just Pusha T as an artist and just his taste level. And yeah, he felt the same way. Everybody in the studio felt the same way. And, regardless of what the album does, what it sells or anything, I'm very most proud of this album because it's just, I feel great about the music, man. Mm-hmm. And I really put my heart into it. You know, songs like One Man Could Change the World, have my grandma on there. It's like, I immortalized her on my song. You know what I mean? Yeah. And she will live through all our family members, but I can honestly say this was my vision, is how I wanted to do it. And that's the best feeling, to be a musician and to be successful and to, you know, see the life I see, man. So I really put my heart into it. I hope people really support this one.
It makes it more special. I mean, all of your albums are clearly important, but that's why it makes this one like a little bit more special than the other ones. Because also you have like Roc Nation with you on this one. I feel like Kanye seemed like a little bit more hands-on with this. Like he gave definitely you a little bit more of a push.
Definitely. And, you know, it was just the right time. The right timing, you know, we just we were in the same places a lot and we made efforts to be in each other's sessions. And
yeah.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Really, really appreciate him, for real.
We spoke with A$AP Ferg a couple months ago, and he told us, we were like, who are your rapper friends like outside of the A$AP mob? And he mentioned you, and he was like, legitimately, Big Sean's a great guy, and we just fuck with each other like as friends.
Yeah, he comes to my house and shit.
Yeah, that's what he said. And he said you guys have a gang of music just like sitting there. Like,
yeah,
you record
man,
songs.
We do, actually. We have a couple good ones, man.
Did any of that turn into B-Boy?
Yeah, B-Boy was one of them.
Okay.
B-Boy was one of them. And he had one called Ja Rule that he put on his last mixtape.
Yeah.
And then we have another one. I don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I was going to put it on my album, and it's very good. Mm-hmm. And I just had to, I just couldn't have too many songs. They were telling me I was already. First of all, I fucking hate. That's the only thing I hate about albums and the label. They be like all on your dick. About like, oh, okay, you can't have, like, man, it was like, you can't, they told me I couldn't have more than 11 songs. Right. I had to fight so hard to have 12 songs on the standard and a couple
bonus,
more on the deluxe, you know what I mean? And that's just weak shit. I feel like that's whack. And that's why, you know, people love it. You could do 17, 18, 19, 20 song mixtapes, you know what I mean? But that's just the difference. But I do like how albums are more immortalized. They live forever more than a mixtape, I feel like. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so it's just a give and take situation. It's a whole different process when you're making an album. But there is some music with Ferg that I'm sure will come out soon.
Well, what's their reasoning for keeping music off an album now? Because, I mean, I imagine that back in older times, like, it would be like you can't fit enough songs on a CD, you can't fit enough songs on vinyl.
I think it's a publishing issue now.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a, man, I don't know, man. Something that I don't really.
But at the same time, I thought it was really dope when you put out the four songs with I Don't Fuck With You, mm-hmm. like all as a package, and that was just like on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
yeah,
I thought that was like real smart to sort of like celebrate the Roc Nation move and show your new sort of like.
Yeah, wave.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, man. Those songs, I love those songs. And Paradise is on the album, the extended version. That was one of the four songs, and I Don't Fuck With You. And I wanted to put Fourth Quarter on there because that was like a blackout song that I had that I know the fans really like, but it was three samples in there that we couldn't clear. Like, just alone in that song, it was three samples. And
what's the one sample that you just could never clear? Like,
well, that was one of them. Okay. It must have been like an Aretha.
Have you?
I don't know what type of sample. It was something crazy.
Do you make that personal call, like, at a certain point?
Yeah. Hell yeah. I mean, some of them, you know, like, for with Play No Games with Chris and Ty Dolla $ign. Like, I was bumping into Teddy Riley, like, yo, by the way, you know, I got this, you know, so, you know, just things like that. But people seem to be, I'm happy with, you know, nobody gave too many problems as far as samples go. We had to replay a few that I was mad about, but, you know, all in all, you can't complain too much. Mm-hmm. You know, we got the ones I really cared about, like On All Your Fault, you know, we got to keep that sample in there and the outro and things like that. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, we know that you're working with Ye, like, on his album because you were out in Mexico. But, I mean, Push is also working on stuff. Mm-hmm. Who else that you could talk about? Who else's stuff are you working on?
I'm looking forward to work with other people. Like, I know Santi Gold really wants to get in the studio. I got love for her. And, like, you know, the Good Music fam, obviously.
Well, and that sort of brings up something interesting, which is we were at John Legend's birthday party. That was also the 10th anniversary of Get Lifted, right? Mm. A celebration for that. And walking around the room were all people we would expect, and some other people that we wouldn't expect, like Katie Couric or like Michael Strahan.
Or Robert De Niro.
Yeah. But Consequence was walking around. And, you know, honestly, besides the, was it Love and Hip Hop?
Mm-hmm. That he was on recently.
Yeah, he was quiet for a while, and the last thing you heard before that was his sort of falling out with Kanye. And then, so we were like, oh, well, this is interesting that he's walking around with all these guys, but, like, obviously he was a part of Good Music back then. Mm-hmm. And then you see him popping up on his Instagram at Kanye's house, and he's like, I'm helping out with the new album. And then he took a picture with you. And while there was this sort of low point, it seems like he's back in the swing of things, even like hanging and contributing maybe production or helping out with some writing. Can you speak on what his reintroduction has been like?
We were all in the studio together. He was this in the studio with that video where Kanye and Pusha was talking about that's out. He was in the room that day, but that's like, you would probably have to ask Ye more what his dynamic has been, because you know, I haven't really seen that much going on. So
yeah. I like that feeling though. I like seeing like Cons and Pusha and like Common and Cute, like, you know what I mean? Like,
it's all, like, the old regime and then the new regime. Man. It's not time for no hate. It's all love out here, you know?
Yeah. And, like, you know, also his love for, like, Chicago rappers and having, like, new and still everyone that he's worked with. Mm-hmm. Like, it definitely comes off as a family.
Yeah. There was a lot of people in the studio. Vic Mensa was in there. Mm-hmm. A lot of good people were in there in the studio. Puff was in there, I think.
Do you feel any sort of attachment to Vic Mensa, being that he's a Midwest guy like yourself?
Yeah, I got love for him. That's the homie. So we got some stuff coming up.
What do you think about the stuff that's out that you could talk about as far as, like, Kanye's music? Like, Wolves and, like, Only One.
I love Wolves, man. That was, like, one of my favorite songs that I heard a long time ago. That's crazy to me. Sia was on there killing. Vic was on there going. And I appreciate that good music.
I think you mentioned this earlier when you didn't want to think about, like, singles with your album. Like, you're just like, I'm gonna do this shit. And I think that also reminds me of Kanye with, like, Only One. And even, like, Wolves. Like, you don't expect that to be, like, a hot 100 hit, no shots at myself and Billboard, but I don't see. You know what I mean? So, like, did you have that conversation with him and Pusha and everyone in the room where it's just like, let's not even think about that. Let's just do this.
We never had that conversation. It was pretty much understood, though. Like, of course you love hearing yourself on the radio, but I don't want to ever compromise myself to make a radio song, ever. Never again is that ever going to happen. You know what I mean? And
you felt it happen before?
Shouts to Def Jam.
No, I mean, I just feel like it's been times where, it's been like, okay, you need something on the radio. Right. You need something like this. And, you know, and not necessarily to say they were like this type of music or that type of music. It's all still real. You know what I'm saying? My Last, you know, Ass, those are some of my, like, biggest songs.
Right.
But, you know, I'm just progressing as an artist. I'm doing my thing. I'm doing things how I want to do it. And
I Don't Fuck With You has 39 million streams on SoundCloud alone. Like, how do you feel your music is? Like, do you feel that because you're on your third album now and you've been around for as long as you've been around, you know, six, seven, 8 years, whatever you've been around, do you feel like you've gotten to the point now where your fans and your fan base is built up where it's like you don't really need that radio single? Or do you feel like it's, you know, just sort of something else?
I just feel like I don't even want to think about it. If radio's going to play my song, that's awesome. You know what I mean? and hopefully they find songs that they gravitate towards and like and love. But you know, I'm not dictating what I make for them though at all.
Yeah, because I do feel like
and I don't, you know, some of my biggest radio successful songs aren't, you know, like Click wasn't. Mm-hmm. We just did that. Mercy, you know, mm-hmm. these songs like All Me and, you know, songs I've been a part of. And, you know, they just were songs that got, you know, picked up by radio. And those are some of my best songs.
Because I feel like you saw what Drake did, you know, this week. You put out an album out of the blue.
Well, did you see what Drake did?
It was crazy. And, you know, I had a verse to that Used To song.
Wow, really? What happened to that?
Where is that?
I just dropped it. You guys can check it out. It's like a crazy ass verse. And
did you call him and you're like, why wasn't this?
Yeah, of course. I'm like,
what did he say for not putting
it
in?
Nah, but I did it really late. It was like a really late thing. It was like a super last minute thing, and you know, iTunes type shit. But
you're like, fuck this. I'm going to release it.
It's cool, but we got Blessings, you know what I mean? Yeah. We got, you know, obviously that's the bro right there. So.
Yeah, and I feel like what he's doing and what J. Cole did, it's not dependent on radio or singles or a traditional model. It's just like, you know what? The fans are going to buy into
it. You have a fan base and they'll find you.
Yeah.
It must be like a very good space to be in where you can now just depend on that and not have to like stress yourself out or pressure yourself or
like spam people on Twitter, like sending like individual links.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Spamming the hell out of people.
My gosh. Someone texted me a video. A music video.
A rapper
sent me a music video. On
my word? Phone. That's hard. I text songs all the time to people.
Do they know you?
Pharrell text me a song.
But they know you. Yeah, I have no idea who this was.
Pharrell's not looking to get put on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is like someone actually trying to have me post it and like listen and
now. No.
That's deep. I mean, shit, I would do it if I was trying to get on too.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's cutthroat out here. You know?
Hey, maybe, now I feel bad. Now I gotta go back and do my text messages. I mean,
it's nothing like that. I mean, you know.
Yeah, don't let Big Sean like guilt you into like listening to shitty music.
Yeah, so if it's shitty, I mean, I've wasted a lot of time listening to shitty music just trying to like give people chances and stuff.
Do you maybe you still do though? You still listen to like what people give you?
Yeah, all the time. Every time, actually. Yeah, I pop it in. Like if they give it to me, I'm in a car, I pop the CD in.
Well, yeah, that's a big part of your story is to actually.
That's a big part of my life.
Right.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to give these people some.
Yeah, and we find a lot of great people too.
Yeah. What do you do with that? Like, do you give them feedback?
Well,
I
feel like I'm just getting to a point where I can start really helping people out. Like, I've signed a few producers that I really believe in, like Key Wayne, who's had tremendous success, you know. He produced not just with me, but with Beyonce. And, you know, he did that Partition and another one on there, too. And, you know, he did All Me with me and Drake. And he's done, like, just a lot. You know, he did Beware for me. He did a lot of stuff on his new album, for sure. So I'm proud of him. He's just on the rise. And the placements go on and on for him. You know, that's not even a fraction of it.
Yeah, he's everywhere, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And I got new producers. You know, this producer named Rob Got Beats, who did the intro to the album. My producer, Amir, who produced One Man Could Change the World. So, you know, it's just a lot of new talent on the rise. And I think I can start doing the same for artists now, too.
Well, that reminds me, you said outro. The Detroit number on your outro song.
Yeah.
I was about to call it, and then I got a little nervous. But what number is that?
Well, that was my real phone.
Really?
Yeah, that's my real phone. I had to turn it off.
Oh, you did? Okay.
No, I mean, I just turned it. I'm going to turn it back on later on, like tonight.
But is that like a separate phone that you have now?
Well, now I have two phones. Yeah.
It's your burner. So when you listen to the album, I actually have that phone on me.
Yeah, so you can send like pictures and like text and like I'm gonna see it.
Erica pass along some shitty rap songs?
Yes, I'll be getting the video.
Yeah, you can send your demos. Just text that shit to me. I'm gonna look at it.
Now I feel bad. If he's gonna look at it, I have to look at these videos also.
Well, I don't know.
I'm just gonna forward it on to you.
Yeah, ask Big Sean his opinion. Of these songs that you're not gonna listen to.
He'll be very honest. Yeah.
You were at the Rock City Classic that happened. What was that last week?
All Star Weekend.
Yeah. And so obviously you said that you don't disagree with Kanye. Like, you know, you disagree on certain things, but like, I feel like you didn't disagree on performing in 15 degree weather.
No.
And were you just like freezing up there? Was it?
It was very fucking cold. I didn't realize how cold it was outside, man. Yeah. Until I was on that stage for like 5 minutes and was like, shit, I can't feel my hand. You know, but it was cool. I felt sorry for the people in the crowd more, though, because it had to be. At least we had hot-ass lights and shit.
Oh, true, yeah.
You know what I mean? They were just in that cold-ass, brisk, cutthroat. Like, that's that type of cold where if you bump your hand against something that hard, that shit feels like you chopped your finger off, you know?
And but so, like,
it was an experience, though.
And you guys are, for the most part, all wearing the Yeezys.
Mm-hmm.
Is that your choice, or does that come from on high?
Well, I wanted to wear the Yeezys. They were like, yo, you should wear this. Everybody was like, hell yeah.
Right. Well, you're not going to say no to that.
Like, no, I mean, but I mean, like,
coolest shit.
But in terms of, like, you know, like, when you guys were all wearing suits and good music, I feel like,
yeah. Oh, yeah,
like, these are all, like, you know, sartorial choices. I don't know, like, how that
squad
comes.
Squad goals. Yeah. Yeah, it's just like a...
Is that, like, a group decision? Like, who dresses good music, I guess?
Well, the concepts come from, I guess, mainly Ye, you know, when it comes to good music as far as, like, yo, you know, clothes. Yo, hey, yo, we should all wear this. It's like, cool, let's do it, you know? It don't be like, y'all motherfuckers gotta wear it. It don't ever be nothing like that. But I mean, who wouldn't want to wear the Yeezys performing with Yeezy?
Right. Yeah.
It's like fucking crazy, you know?
Well, I'm gonna close it up.
Thanks for taking the time out, man. Thanks for talking to me about Dark Sky Paradise, you know?
No, we appreciate it.
It's definitely my best work to date.
It's been a journey.
Yeah, it's been a journey. Got a long way to go. You know, we keep evolving and... I just appreciate you guys really listening. You know,
yeah.
I know you guys don't listen to everything, so
clearly I'm over here.
Mostly shitty links.
Clearly I'm over here ignoring X messages.
Yeah, so thanks for, you know, checking it out. And like I said, I'm focused and I'm hungry and, you know, go support it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I put my heart into it.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, congratulations. Yeah,
thanks, guys.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.